6 years. I don't know, but that's what I feel. I feel like it's really coming.
We're speaking to the author of Jane Addams, Spirit in Action. Her name is Louise W. Knight. She joins us today. I think she's out in California at the moment, though that's not hometown. She's part of the Central Time Zone, just like I am. I think you're so right, Louise, about the historical currents and that we can learn so much from them. I highly recommend that people read your book because they'll start to get a glimpse of what it looks like to have the world be different and how it changes from that. We take for granted all of the labor laws that we have in place now, minimum wage and 40-hour work week, and of course you don't abuse children for labor, all of those things. We take for granted that women have the vote, and for almost all of her life, Jane Addams did not have the vote. So to put yourself in that place where you don't have those rights and how you're going to get the society to reform in a way that those things are in place is what this book teaches us, and the incredible work that Jane Addams did in that effort. Were there any of the areas of her activism that surprised you? Maybe you didn't even talk about them in the book. Maybe she was, well, one of the things that you kind of downplay, but you eventually mention straight up in the book, is her love relationships were with women. There was no gay liberation, I think, of the time. Was that generally known? Did that undercut her standing in society if she was, oh my gosh, you know, loving a woman instead of a man?
Well, in the 19th century, there was a societal idea called a Boston marriage. It was when two women lived together for life. My own theory, I don't know if this is true, is that I think it may have partly been a side result of so many men dying in the Civil War. But in any case, it was not unusual in the second half of the 19th century. And these are usually women who were fairly prosperous, so they could afford to form a household together. They had the money to pay for the expenses. They didn't need to get married, in other words. At that time, that was an accepted model for women, and yet there was no assumption implicit that there was any sexual possible relationship there. There's no question that some of the, quote, Boston marriages undoubtedly involved sex, but there were others that didn't. Or you can't really tell, of course, but, you know, probably. And yet their devotion and commitment to each other was very clear and very loving. In the case of Jane Addams, when she moved into Hull House with her friend Ellen Gates Starr, it seems quite likely that they, too, were thinking of themselves as a partnership. In the early letters when they're first there, you can see that they're sort of relating to each other's family as if they are family, too. They shared a bed, although that's not unusual for friends, but it certainly is typical of a Boston marriage. You know, you just get the feeling this was meant to be a partnership and that would be permanent. What happened was that they grew apart. They were an interesting pair because Ellen Gates Starr was very witty, sharp-tongued, judgmental, enthusiastic person. And Jane Addams was kind of the opposite. She didn't have much of a sense of humor. She really tried very hard never to be judgmental, and Ellen admired that a lot because she felt she was too judgmental. Addams was not a feisty personality, you know, as you met her. She was a soft-spoken person. So they kind of admired the qualities each other had, which is often the basis of an initial infatuation, as you might say. But eventually, Ellen especially grew impatient with all Jane's broad-mindedness, and Jane, I think, probably had some difficulty with Ellen's judgmentalness because Ellen was always trying to say, you know, why don't you do this? You need to be doing that. She was a bit bossy. So they grew apart. I think it was mutual. And Ellen had other people that she became involved with. She was an impetuous person, and she speaks in her letters about falling in love with one person or another in a very playful way. Jane Addams was not that kind of person, so she met another person, a younger woman named Mary Rose Smith, who did not live as a resident at Hull House the way Ellen did, but who came to Hull House as a volunteer often. And they, over time, became very close and became lifetime partners. They only lived together in the summers because they eventually bought a summer home in Bar Harbor. But Jane would spend a lot of time at Mary's house. Mary was very wealthy in Chicago, riding or resting. They would travel together. Mary would spend a lot of time at Hull House. So they were together quite a lot, and they were a lifetime partnership, and they thought of themselves that way. So the question everybody would like to know is, what about sex? Because we are a highly sexualized society, and that seems a very important question to us. The answer is we don't know. We do know what Adam's attitude towards sex was at certain key moments in her life, sexuality, I should say. And she was a Platonist, which is an idea that is very alien to our culture. But what Plato believed was that you should sublimate your sexual desires, your lust, and take that energy and raise it up into a love of beauty. And that is what the Platonic ideal of love is. And there were lots of heterosexual couples who had that belief. It wasn't just between two women or two men that this idea could be applied. And it was very popular in the educated circles of the 19th century. In other words, married couples who were male-female often didn't have sex except, or at least they thought they shouldn't, except to create children. So it was an unusual time. It was a very spiritual age, maybe we could say. So in that context, it seems unlikely that Adams would have flung herself into a physical relationship. On the other hand, we don't know what happened, and it seems likely to assume that there were some struggles, moral struggles with this issue at the very least. And indeed, there's a passage in one of Jane Addams' books, which I quote in my book, where she says, it is not an easy thing to sublimate this desire, this physical desire. And so it really sounds like she herself struggled with it. And that's about as far as I can go in terms of the physical side. But as John D'Amelio, the historian of sexuality, has written, there's rarely any documentation, at least in the 19th century, about sexual relations. So unless you're Emma Goldman, so it's hard to know. But I do feel that the more important thing is not whether or not they had sex, but whether or not they were lifetime partners, whether or not they were committed to each other as a same-sex partnership, and that they clearly were. And to me, that's the most